Hey folks, Glenn from Made by Folk here. Today I'm talking with Luca Gonelli, co-founder and CEO of Algo, a dynamic studio that specializes in data visualization and generative design. He walks us through the evolution of Algo from a side project to a thriving creative business. And he gives us great insights into the world of animation, design trends, and balancing client work while still leaving room for experimentation. As promised with all these episodes going forward, I'm going to try and summarize what I learned from this conversation up front to give you a better idea of what this interview is going to be like and hopefully if it will be worth your time. So for me, Luca was really great at explaining how he and his team embrace challenging projects as an opportunity for learning. Algo came out of a client brief initially where it seemed too difficult to do it the normal way. So they built tools that would allow them to make this project happen that then led on to them actually building tools and building a product out of it. He also was very clear about how he tries to foster his own curiosity and that of his team to really make regular time for experimentation. And he emphasized the point of being adaptable. Being adaptable in the creative industry and how important it is to navigate changing circumstances and trends and the economy, and being more adaptive opens you up to more opportunities. Luca offered a candid and inspiring perspective on building a thriving creative business, and I hope that you can learn as much from him as I did from this interview. Let's get started. Welcome to Made by Folk, Luca. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Luca, you and I, we've worked together in a couple of cases, mostly through Illo, which is kind of how I got to know you. But then I think just at that time, you had sort of hinted at, oh, I'm also working on this thing called Algo. There was already a website, but it was quite vague and secretive at the time. And now you're much more out of that stealth mode and actually working with clients and doing some incredible work. So maybe for those who haven't come across Algo yet, you give us like the little elevator pitch of what Algo does.
Of course, absolutely. So yeah, Algo is a sister studio of Illo. It was born something like 5-6 years ago. It's difficult to point a moment in time. Basically, yeah, we are a studio focused on data visualization and in particular in video automation. So basically our role as designers, animators, and coders is to basically build dashboards that our client can use to produce videos in a very easy way. So we are all about data-driven and generative design and creating videos from data at scale.
I think for most of our listeners, so generative design is definitely like a hot topic at the moment, but maybe you could give us like a quick idiot's guide to what is generative data-driven design. Like, it's such a nice nice umbrella term. But like for anybody who has slept under a rock for the past year, like maybe giving them like a quick intro would help be helpful.
Sure. And it's very easy to confuse with AI and stuff. So
yes.
Now what we mean as generative design or data-driven is basically the fact that we build a set of design rules so that each time you have a new data or you play with it, with the system, it generates a new unique version of animation or visual. And so, yeah, it's all about having the data that take control of the final output of the design.
Yeah, great. And so Algo kind of like, maybe we could take a few steps back to how you initially started down this diverging path from Illo and what led to that. Was it just like a rough idea and then you thought I'll try it out, or like what was that in the initial inception of Algo?
Sure. Yeah, no, it was definitely a slow and continuous process. It didn't happen overnight. But yeah, I think there were sort of four turning points moment that led us from, of course, only Illo to having two separate companies like that. One, of course, is the first project. So the first time basically, we were already interested by this topic. We have a technological background, me and Ilenia and Matteo and some early team members. And we were exploring this aspect of having the variable data inside of animations. But a client came in and said, okay, I want you to work every weekend, every night, every time there's a football match in Italy in order to make real-time animations. And we were like, okay, this sounds very interesting, but very terrible brief. Yeah. And so we just said, okay, let's do this, but our own way with automation. And yeah, we basically didn't have anything. So I remember the first meeting going to Rome, the client was in Rome, and basically faking completely that we already had a prototype working. We had Matteo on our side sending an email just at the right time when I was clicking a button. So this kind of level of faking it. But yeah, at the end, we built it and it was working. And so, yeah, we created thousands of videos for that project during the football matches. And it all started in this way. Then at some point, we got a Bloomberg email in a spam folder from a random Yahoo account. And this turned out to be basically they wanted to hire one of our team members inside of their team. And we said, okay, no, that team member is working for us, but we can help you with animation.
Oh, they were trying to poach one of your animators?
Yeah. Yeah, from a random, you know, you receive in the spam folder from a random name at Yahoo dot something. So I was like, what is this? And actually, it was a Bloomberg employee, Brandon, which basically was not using the Bloomberg email because it was too complex or they had too many protocols to write to external people. Mm-hmm. I don't know, firewalls or stuff. So yeah, it was just using his personal email. But yeah, that turned out to be a super long collaboration with Bloomberg. We did like probably a dozen of projects with them since then. So it really started as a like terrible thing at the beginning and turned out fantastic. That's so at that point, we did a few projects and then we decided to make a website for it and then went on. Then maybe a second moment, it was when we started to have a dedicated team. So initially everyone was part of Illo and Algo at the same time. Of course, Algo was kind of a one single project from time to time when we had a request. Then at some point we were having more requests, so we had started to hire specifically for Algo. A third moment was maybe a couple of years ago when we decided to actually open a separate company for it. Also we continue to hire more people like our designer Kami and our developer Mattia. And that's the moment where the style also between Illo and Algo started to diverge a little bit. Yeah. And yeah, I like to say that Algo is the kind of the dark side of Illo. We are always in dark mode and more graphic design in motion. We are more towards this thing and less figurative, of course, than Illo. And this was an important moment. We also built a holding company that's owning both Algo and Illo at the same time so that they're still part of the same group. It's a grown-up thing. So it's a separate company since a couple of years now. The last moment where we actually are completely diverging is pretty recent. Ile and I decided that she would run Illo 100%. I would run Algo 100%. So now we are, of course, separated team. There's just one person that is a bit in common, which is our R&D director, Matteo. But yeah, the teams are completely different. We have different company cultures. Illers like to ride bicycles and take analog photos, while Algoers come to work with the electric scooter. And if you tell them that you need to go to a shop to actually give the negative and process the photos, they will watch you in a crazy way. So that's a fun thing. Now we're really both studios grown up and fully separate.
Amazing.
Fully independent.
Well, it's great that you've pulled that off. Like, I think that's kind of what got us talking about Algo initially, was like you kind of made this one project into a bigger project, presented it as like, look, this is technology that could function and could work well for a client. And then you saw lots of other clients could technically benefit from something similar. Maybe there's something there. And then it naturally evolved into a fully formed business with how big is the team now then? Like you said, four or five?
Nine people now.
Nine people now. No way. Mm-hmm. That's great. Nice one. So Algo's always been like this, you've always spent a lot of time developing these new methods, these new ways of generating data-driven design. So how much time do you invest in research and development for these new ways of working? And like, how do you find that balance between the client work and potentially showing them, you know, hey, there's another new way. There's the, you know, like keeping the team at that forefront of the technology, which is constantly changing, especially over the last year.
Yeah, it's all driven by curiosity, really. And of course, it's it's part of, I can't really stop trying all the shiny new things that come out every day. And so that's basically, and also the team is has the same approach. So yeah, I have like 200 tabs open on all the, to remember all of the things that I need to try. So it's really driven by that, not only in me, of course, but also a lot of the team members like to try new things. And sometimes, of course, we are a small team, so it's not easy to go in so many directions. So we have to focus on something. And concerning the relationship with client projects, yeah, I think that we try to use client projects as an occasion to try new technologies all the time. It's challenging, of course, because you're maybe selling to the client something which is not 100% ready on your side, and you're putting yourself a bit out of comfort zone. But also I'm seeing that I really, like the projects that I love the most afterwards are the ones where we push ourselves in a bit of an uncomfortable position at the beginning because we didn't know how to do it. And then we end up finding out. And yeah, that's, I think that's the, when the best work comes out, it's because of that. So yeah, I try to put myself and the team in a terrible position and try to solve it, basically.
And are there any sort of new experiments that you're currently exploring that you're excited about that you're allowed to share?
Sure, absolutely. Now, we are doing a lot of different things all at once, as usual. We are experimenting a lot with a software called Cavalry, which is basically, yeah, this new animation tool, which is fantastic. It's much more towards generative design and yeah, this kind of stuff. And also, I'm super excited about a new project that's coming out probably in these days, since we are recording before and then this will be posted later, which is called, is for a company called Family, which is a Web3, it's a wallet app, a really beautifully designed wallet app. And for the first time with them, we are doing a wrapped campaign or year in review campaign. In this case, it's a month in review. Basically, right. We are, for every one of their users, we are going to produce every month, every first of the month, we're going to produce a unique video that's telling you how you use your crypto over the month, and yeah, how much you gained, how much you lost, or what NFTs you bought, and all this stuff. So it's kind of a recap of your financial activity in the crypto world.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. Yeah, if that comes out by the time we release this, we'll try and add some links to that new project.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's all possible thanks to a technology, that a rendering pipeline that we built internally, part of our R&D process. That's based on Lottie, so it's super scalable. It allows us to do tens of thousands of videos or hundreds of thousands of videos and so on. So it's, the R&D coming into a real project.
Incredible. Let's take a quick break because I'd like to tell you more about Current, the place to see all of your team's work. We've all been there. It's Monday morning and you're back at work after a weekend that felt just a little bit too short. You know, last week the team made a ton of progress, but you can't remember which files to look at, which tools to open, which Slack channel that link was shared to. Now imagine your team was using Current. Current integrates with all the tools that your team is already using to let you see all the work in one place and give you and your team better alignment. And at the end of each week, Current's AI-powered newsletter automatically summarizes all the work posted and shares it with everyone so that your Monday can start a little less chaotic. Go and visit current.so and transform how you work.
So you were talking about, like, you have that internal curiosity that's leading you to explore all these possibilities. When you're building, or when you built your team, how did you try and find that curiosity in the people that you were hiring? Did you have a method for that? Like, did you have like certain questions to try to figure that out? Or is that just a feeling that you get when you're talking to
people? Yeah, I should be more prepared to respond on this, but yeah, I don't really know. We don't have a process. We like to, when we are hiring, fortunately, we're super, fortunate to receive a lot of requests from different people in different countries. So it's really amazing to select people and to be able to pick the ones that are most amazing. But of course, yeah, when interviewing, we ask some random question, or we try to put you a little, unusual or an uncomfortable position and try to see how you react to that. But it's really a feeling. And in the end, of course, you cannot, it's hard to test. Sometimes I ask tech questions, who is the founder of Coinbase? And of course, maybe you don't know or something, but yeah, I try to do these things, but I'm not sure that's the way to go. It's probably more like a feeling.
Seems to be working so far, so it must have some positives.
Hopefully.
So the way you guys have structured the business now, you are also building some tools that I think are currently still mostly in beta or in some kind of test phase. But I think the plan is to also build these tools out so that they're publicly available and that any user can technically, like I've been trying out your sort of podcast generation tool where you can upload a snippet and it will generate like a vocalizer, visualizer for you from that audio clip. Is there like a plan to move more towards those consumer products, or do you want to always have that balance between the two? Or maybe to reframe a question is, where do you see that balance in the future between client oriented work and then maybe consumer oriented apps and products?
Yeah, no, we like to play with these. We also, I think at the beginning, we made a big mistake in marketing ourselves, marketing Algo as a product or as a platform more than a studio. This was, I think, a big mistake because, of course, this attracted, I think, the wrong type of clients at the very beginning. So it's something that we changed across the years. If you see the website versions, we are, every time it's more like it's more of a studio. So now we definitely focus on that. Now we are a team. So there's, a design, animation, coding happening each time. But then, of course, there's a component of a platform where you're using. So we always, at the end of the setup of the project, we give the client a way to generate videos on their own. So there's always a portion of that. Concerning, we like to do experiments like the transcript demo that you were referring to, so that people can try and can actually, because of course, if you become only B2B, only for a few projects, a few companies, it's, I think, less interesting. It's nice to both give back. So all of these tools for now are free. And if we plan to keep them free, unless they are built in a way that generating a lot of cost on our side. But for now we'd like to keep them free and to kind of, it's a sort of a appetizer and a way for people to try the technology and maybe, of course, then willing to become a client on the Algo side.
Of course.
We like to play with that.
More like a marketing tool at this stage.
Exactly. And I'm not really sure about the future. We don't want, it's really competitive if we had to go in a more B2C direction. Of course, there's companies raising millions of dollars and I'm not sure we want to go in that direction. So we are definitely a studio and we focus most of our time on the client projects. But we like sometimes to go a bit on the B2C just for fun and for marketing, as you mentioned.
Yeah, sure. So if you have any advice for somebody wanting to move into this industry, because I feel do you feel like there are still certain qualities that you look for in the staff that you've been hiring for Algo, where how do they differ from the people that you hired at Illo? Do they just have a more technology focused mindset, or do you see is there a lot of overlap between those two teams?
Yeah, there's a bit of overlap, but of course we are searching. Our team is made of me, and so I also act as a CEO and creative director. We have a designer, Kami, who is very much a graphic designer. Then we have two technical animators. So that's one of the figures that it's not so easy to find, and it's very important for us. They are both animators and also able to deal with code. And then we have two like front-end developers and data analysts that also help us build the dashboards and also work with the APIs. So yeah, of course, we are looking for people that have some skills that are specific to what we do. But yeah, and normally, for example, for the animator, technical animator role, it's interesting because it's a very much in-between role between creativity and technology. Yeah. And so it's not so easy to find. But yeah, and this kind of automatically brings a different company culture, different interest in the team. Now we also do separate creative retreats. So we do, yeah, the ILO trip is different from the Algo one. We still share the same space, the same office space. We eat together. We are like, of course, one big team.
Are you guys all on site then? Or do you have like a sort of hybrid approach?
Hybrid. Half and half. Yeah, during the pandemic, we outgrow the space we had available, but we love it and we don't want to change it for now. So yeah, we are basically, yeah, we have the ILO days, Monday and Thursday, and Algo days, which are Tuesday and Fridays.
Oh, brilliant. That's a lovely story. I've only ever seen it in like video backgrounds in our conversations. Someday I'll come and visit Milan.
absolutely. Today, in Torino.
Oh, sorry, Torino. Oh, man. Why did I think
No worries, that? No worries. Yeah, today I'm at home, but yeah, most of the time I'm in the studio.
Great.
So please visit.
For anybody that has like an idea like that first Algo project, so something that was maybe driven by a client initially, but you see some potential for it to be like applicable to other clients or other users, what's your advice on, you know, growing that into what now is Algo, like its own sustaining business with a small team, you know, doing great work and pushing boundaries in a lot of cases? Like, can you give any advice for anybody who's kind of like at that point in time?
Sure, I can try, of course.
First one is perspective, obviously.
Don't do it. No, I'm joking. No, it's, I guess that the really important question to ask yourself when you're deciding whether if you want this kind of side project to turn into a full business or maybe not, which is also totally fine, is to ask yourself the question if you see yourself maybe in 5 years or whatever, to actually only run that side, that side business. Because of course, if the answer is yes, go for it. It's going to be tough because, for example, I started ILO with ILE 11 years ago now, and I don't remember so well how the first years were and the nights that we spent working and stuff. So yeah, of course, when you're starting something new again, it's actually restarting. Maybe the things that you learned that were working for your main venture are not working anymore for this new one because it's in a different, maybe slightly different place. And so, it's definitely, you should say yes to if you want to only do that. If not, it's totally fine. And you can, of course, keep it as a project you do from time to time. And it's maybe a way to get outside of what you do every day and can be maybe frustrating. But yeah, otherwise, if you want to go the full route, I think, replying yes to that question is the best one, because of course it's going to be a bit tough. And yeah, maybe you forgot from when you started.
It's like when you have kids, you forget the first couple of years and how difficult they were. You guys have decided the second.
I was so thinking sure just gone through exactly. I was thinking exactly the same metaphor. That's perfect metaphor.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, well, as someone who's so curious about technology and also where we are currently at, but where we're moving, where do you see sort of animation and does that like the industry as a whole moving in the near future? I think it's always an interesting question to ask, not because I'm wanting you to like pretend like you're a fortune teller, but mostly just like, which areas are you kind of excited or concerned about? Where do you see some real opportunity? You know, I think you have this very interesting perspective because of your curiosity for technology and a really good understanding of the design industry.
First thing to say this year in particular, and to trying to be very honest, this year has not been great for the creative industry as a whole. Mm-hmm. I think I spoke to many studio founders or freelancers, and it's been tough. Of course, maybe it's a bit of a kind of rebalancing after, especially in animation. I don't know if the whole creative industry, but in animation for sure. Maybe it's a bit of rebalance from the boom that happened during COVID, which was, of course, counterintuitive. But and also, of course, also if you work with tech companies, there's been all these layoffs and much less venture capital money due to the higher interest rates. Not going to talk about economics more, but basically, I think, it was a tough year for many. At the same time, it's a super interesting year because of all of the things that are happening with AI and new tools. So every day there's a new shiny thing to try. And those can, of course, impact your workflow and make it easier or allow you to do things that you weren't doing before. I can also think about Cavalry, for example, which is present since a few years, but it's becoming very, I think, bigger now. Or maybe that is also a few weeks ago, there was Procreate Dreams that was just released, which is this new animation software, especially for maybe frame by frame, but also I think very interesting. I've seen a few demos with a few use cases that could be interesting. So it's time for After Effects to finally have some competition, and I'm super excited about that. And all of the things that are happening around are good, but at the same time, it's been a terrible year. So I hope that we recover from this economic downside and in the industry, and that we can fully embrace all of these new technologies that are coming out and are very exciting.
I think that's well said. And I support that. Like, I think it's not just in the animation industry. I think it's definitely also in graphic and product design. I think, and many other industries, of course. And I think it does definitely have just a lot to do with companies being a little bit more cautious in the current situation. So let's hope things calm down a little bit.
We were used to this crazy world with zero interest rate or negative interest rates and everything. We thought that was normal, but maybe it's not. I hope that in any case, we were lucky both in ILO and Algo. We got projects that kept us afloat. In ILO, there was a shift from US, which was really important last year, to this year, where it became less important, but Asia came in. We did a lot of projects. They did a lot of project with Asia. That on the Algo side also we were lucky, but not everyone was lucky. But we are seeing recovery. Since a few months, we are seeing things are getting better. So hopefully, I hope that this
fingers
will be
crossed for all of us.
Yes.
Well, Luca, this was really enjoyable. I learned a hell of a lot. I think the main takeaways for me are like, you know, you really have to embrace those client projects when they come in, and even when they seem like impossible, just like kind of like try and get the prototype to this work enough that the client buys into it and believes that you can do it, and then deliver
always
an excellent product.
Faking it until you're making it
the endless
way of doing. Yes.
and I think just keeping that curious, open-minded approach to new technology, I think it's really helped you out, and it's definitely something that I can take away from this, just like embracing that, because I sometimes feel guilty when I just try out every imaginable tool that I'm procrastinating, but actually in the long term it often then leads to you being able to try out a different approach or a different technique. So it's definitely worth making time for.
Exactly, the tools definitely change the output and change what are the trends. And you see that with Cavalry and with these new animations that are almost impossible to do with After Effects. But these are like moving, I think, the aesthetic forward. So that's always a balance between just design trends and, of course, trends that are pushed by the tools. So I love that.
Nice one. Well, before we end, anybody listening or watching this, where should they go to find out more about Algo and ILO? Maybe you'd like to give us a quick hint where they can find out more about your work.
Sure, absolutely. So it's algo.tv, the website, and all the same thing, ILO.tv. And for social handles, we are AlgoTV everywhere.
Nice one. That's great. Well, anybody listening or watching, please do share this interview with people who you think might find this useful. I think that's definitely always the best way of us just like sort of spreading the word about these really interesting perspectives, and it helps the podcast out. And as usual, if you want to keep up to date with any new episodes, follow us at Made by Folk on Instagram or made_by_folk on Twitter. I'm still waiting for that handle someday. And you know, there
should
will
happen. At some point, it will happen.
At some point. And Luca, thank you very much for having a chat with me today.
Thanks to you. It was amazing. Ciao, Glenn.
Thanks for sticking around to the end. I hope you enjoyed this interview. If you did, you know, it really helps if you leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It brings the podcast to a lot more people when they search for interesting topics. Or if you can think of a friend or a colleague that would find this useful, you know, sharing this on social media does a hell of a lot of good as well. Made by Folk is supported by Current, the app that allows you to see all of your team's work in one place. You can find out more at current.so. All of our music is supported by Mammal Sounds. You can find a link to the whole playlist in the description. I'll be back again soon with another interesting interview. Until then, take care.